Chairman Martin.
Here.
Mr. Burney.
Not here.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Here.
Mr. Lucchese.
Not here.
Ms. O'Brien.
Here.
Ms. Schubkegel.
Here.
Mr. Smetana.
Here.
Okay, we have five.
All right, so we have a quorum. First matter on the agenda this evening is approval of the minutes from our meeting on June 13th. These were distributed. Has everyone had an opportunity to review these? Somebody want to make a motion regarding these minutes?
I'll make a motion. Second.
I can say second. I'll second. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of the meeting that was held on June 13th. Any discussion? You want to call the roll, and everyone who was here at that meeting should vote.
Mr. Smetana.
Approved.
Ms. O'Brien.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Chairman Martin.
Yes. All right, then we have the findings of fact from the matter we considered at that meeting on June 13th. Again, the village has distributed these findings for us to review. There was one change in them from what we got earlier. Anybody have any questions about these findings of fact? We have a motion to approve them.
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the findings of fact for the property at 7628 Washington Boulevard. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Smetana.
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Chairman Martin.
Yes. Next matter on the agenda is a variation request for the property at 1201 Park Avenue. So we ask everybody who's going to address the board tonight to stand up and get sworn in by the secretary.
To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
I do.
All right. Because the hearing is recorded for the trustees listening to primarily, we ask that as you speak into the microphone. At this point, our process is to permit you, the applicant, to address us and to tell us about the variation you're requesting and why you think you're entitled to it.
Thank you, Chairman Martin. Is this recording? Okay, perfect. So first, quick introduction. My name is James Durham. My wife, Carolyn, two daughters, Audrey and Taylor, 9 and 6. So we've been in River Forest for 8 years now, and we've been at 1201 Park Avenue for going on 4 years now. We used to live at 1425 Franklin when we bought 1201 and did a full gut rehab on the inside. The property had been neglected for close to 30 years. Replaced windows, roofs. We've done a lot of work. The one thing that really bothered us was in the back lot, there was this old shed, an aluminum 10-foot by 10-foot shed, like the Home Depot from 20 years ago, completely rusted out. And it was no longer, we couldn't fit, the kids and lawnmowers and everything. We said we're out of space. We have two cars, we park inside. Just day-to-day living and space requirements necessitated that we have a more functional garage or secondary shed space. So when we started, we knew that the shed itself was on the fence line, and that was something we addressed. We pulled it away from the fence line. We kept the shed at 15 feet off of the lot line as where it previously was. And I think that was without me knowing about the additional lot would incorporate the new bylaws. So our primary problem with moving this shed is the existence of a very old tree. This tree was cut down probably about 10 years ago. The stump of this tree is about 8 foot in diameter, and it was directly underneath the power lines. We've had a couple different stump removal companies come out to try to work on it. It's massive. It was also built on about a 2 foot berm, so getting down to grade has been tough. When we came to replace the concrete pad that was there, we decided to make it extend a few more feet as close as we could to the stump. The concrete companies absolutely said they could not build on top of a decomposing organism effectively. He said 3 years the slab will break and the shed will just be unsafe effectively. So there's I've got a set of documents here I'd like to go through with everyone. So starting with section one, which is just the primary application, I think that's a no-brainer there. That's this. So the description for necessity, I'd like to just read this for the record. We're replacing a rusted aluminum 10-foot by 10-foot shed with an 11 by 16 wood-sided slate roof shed. The shed style will be built to match the colonial style of our home. The old shed had a 15-foot setback from the southern property line. Code 10-8-7A2 requires a 25-foot setback. Because of the length of the shed is 16 foot, a 25 setback is not possible due to physical and topographical condition, which I'll outline below in our explanation that we meet all of the standards for major variance exceptions. The primary problem with the property, which necessitates the variance, is the natural occurrence, the presence of an 8 foot stump, approximately 170-year-old, 80-foot oak tree stump, and its associated root ball under the ground. Any foundation poured over this 10-foot by 10-foot area will be unstable as the stump and root system continue to decompose. As a result, a void is created under the concrete pad and the surrounding dirt collapses under the foundation. The foundation will have no support, crack, and then the little shed will lose its structurally compromised. We've had two stump grinding companies attempt to remove the stump. However, the width of the stump, the depth of the stump, the expansive root ball system make full removal impossible with normal means and standard machinery. We did explore having an excavator, one of the big arm things, but the proximity to the overhead power lines and electrical service to our house prevented this option. Because the tree was on a 1 to 2 foot berm, we are just now down to grade of the surrounding yard, and the stump and root ball system that is still 8 foot in diameter is still intact. Therefore, as part of our, this part of our property will continue to sink for the next 10 to 15 years as the stump and root ball system decompose. We are requesting that a new shed be placed 15 feet from the southern property line to remediate this hardship. So section three is the plat of the survey. In the lower left of our lot is the area in question. If you go to, so the lower left. So if you turn to section four, it's a zoomed in section of that lower left. So in the top, you can see where the old metal shed was. It was right up on the fence line. What we decided to do in exhibit A2 was move it 4 foot off the fence line to be in compliance, but keep it in line with where the old existing metal shed was. And that also, that line does not protrude past the front of our house either, just FYI. The circle in red, that is where the stump, the old tree was. And then we have six white pines back there, approximately 40 feet to the left of that. So we couldn't actually put the shed on the other side without taking those down. And those six pines actually represent the remaining trees that are not parkway trees on our property. So, you know, we really had not many trees. We don't want to cut these down. So here's how the site was going to be impacted. We moved the location 4 foot west to be compliant. The northern elevation of the shed remains in place as the old metal shed, which is 15 feet from the sidewalk. The yellow lines represent the 64 additional square feet of storage space that is going to be added for additional storage.
I got one question.
Yes.
say the northerly elevation remains the same. Sure, it's not the southerly, what, the southern side of it?
You're correct. So if you're looking north, that was my perspective. If you're looking north, it's still 15 feet from the sidewalk. Or if you're looking south, it's still 15 feet either way, just depending on your perspective. So at this time, the metal shed has been removed, and so what we also removed the deteriorated concrete pad underneath. The proposed is a 15-foot setback from the sidewalk, which is the same as the previous setback of the shed. We increased the setback to 4 feet from the east fence to be compliant with village code, which was indicated by the blue box on the concrete pad. Again, the red circle was the 8-foot stump diameter, which still rest 1.5 feet above grade. The green circles labeled white pines, those are ones in our backyard. Also, if you go back to exhibit A2, I want to point out a few additional things. So on the left side, so the southern border, there's a 10-foot tall privacy hedge that is in place. So from a public view, that's a very important piece, I believe. And then our neighbors to the east, they have very dense privacy landscaping. And I've taken photographs from both perspectives of their house, so you can see kind of what they see. We'll get to photos in a second. So additional information needed, still in section four here. We're going for a single story, 14-foot height shed. Code allows for a story and a half, and I think up to 20 feet, so we're below that. 176 square feet, and then lot coverage site is 1.3%. Lot to area ratio, 70% calculations below. So this is a drawings of the proposed structure. 16 foot by 11, as you can see. 6-inch overhang, wood siding, double door. Northern elevation on the next page. Again, 11 foot with 14 foot height. So turning to section five. So this was the planting diagram that our landscaper prepared. To give some perspective of the plants that we've planted and where the shed is. If you'll notice, there are some flagstones in the bottom center that kind of, with these bushes right there, that circle there actually can't be planted. So it's, but they couldn't get the stump down far enough even to allow roots to grow. So we have actually nothing in that spot at all. So it's a bare spot there. But this is what the yard looks like today with that concrete pad in existence. You'll see a walkway out to the gate to the sidewalk for like a snow blower or something. That does not exist yet. Questions? So this next section, the zoning review checklist, it's a lot of,
you don't have to deal with it.
Thank you. Next.
Well,
I did find one one point that we could have added to. That would be
Mr. Maddox, other than the variation that they're asking for the side yard setback, are there any other variations that are required in the zoning code for this project?
No other variations are required.
So So let's turn to section eight now, and which are the eight questions I believe that are most important to address. First, the physical surrounding, shape, or?
But we're all familiar with the standards.
Okay, so should I just read my answers?
But you can, if you think it's necessary to read them, that's fine. If you just want to talk about them, that's fine. We've had all this stuff for you.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right. So. So this is a hardship versus an inconvenience. We have no other options. effectively, and I listed four pretty significant reasons of why that is. We looked at placing the shed in alternate locations as well. The second section, it didn't result, it's not a result of me. This was obviously, I mean, my girls counted the rings on this thing, so this is a natural force. It was, yeah, that's just a tree. The next one, which is the variation is not generally applicable to other properties. You know, trees of this size, I don't have this type of proximity to electrical distribution lines. Generally throughout the village, you know, people don't plant trees that can grow 100 feet beneath power lines. The tree stump itself, because 80-foot oak trees don't grow beneath power lines, very few, if any, homes in River Forest have an 8-foot diameter stump in this location. And tree topping, which was an interesting one. ComEd uses how they keep the power lines down. And as I researched this, I found out that's one of the most harmful things you can do to trees, because it really accelerates the degradation, and it actually kills the trees. So that's what happened in this situation. They chopped off their side of the thing. One side became heavy, fell off into the yard. You know, there goes a great tree. We're economic gain. We're not going to gain any economic advantage by moving the shed 10 feet to the south. Public welfare. It doesn't impede in public space, including visual, because of the heavy shrubbery and greenery. And you know, as far as neighborhood enjoyment, this is also in the same place that our old shed was, and there were no complaints from people previously. So I don't think that's going to be impacted there. The sixth point, air supply and light. The shed, again, is smaller than the surrounding. The shed is smaller than the surrounding landscape. Air and light will not be impacted. We're just building a standard lawn garden shed, so danger of fire and public safety remain unchanged from the previous shed. We're not going to unduly tax public utilities. This is all going to be work done confined within our property. Nothing's going to be required of the village to do anything with the street or anything like that. And the eighth one, there's no other means to put this. So we looked at all the different places we could put a shed that would work. As a corner lot, we can't place it on the west side of our house, because that would be, again, going into our true front yard. Just physically, the shed can't fit there. Placing on the northern property line would be the impact. It would prevent light and air, everything. It'd cover a pretty significant portion of their view. And placing on the southern fence line, we couldn't do that. We couldn't move it forward, because then the shed would be literally in the middle of the backyard. So, and that would prevent us from reasonable use of our property. So those are, you know, without me going into depth, but I can address any of those in depth if you'd like. So, okay, I'll turn to section 9. So photos, I'm sorry, section 8, the photo, letters of support. So Larry and Carolina Fox, they live directly to the east of us. So I'm standing in their backyard taking a picture of, you know, my house. And so those great big pine trees you see there, that orange box represents where the shed's gonna be, but on the other side of that greenery, if that makes sense. Okay, the next letter from the other person who would be able to see this was Jack and Anita Friedman, and they just said, wanna let you know that they couldn't go to the hearing today, but you know, they didn't see any problem with it. And that's that 10-foot hedgerow. For scale, that privacy fence, the wooden one, that's a 5-foot privacy fence. So, you know, that's about a 10-foot tall hedgerow. And the shed would be behind that, and then 15 feet behind that. Photos. Okay, so as you can see, we tried to excavate this area to see exactly, you know, what we had. I marked out with the flags where the stump actually is, and this is after two different grinding companies, And at this point, we're still above grade. The next set of photos was when we tried to bring in heavier equipment. This was a Bobcat, and this is our third attempt with stump grinding to get down to at least grade level. And so that bottom picture puts us at grade level, and our landscape architect just said we can't plant this area. We're not even close to, it's still just like a big piece of wood. It's huge. So if you'd like, I can show you a quick video of me surveying the property, or if you'd like to address any questions on this.
Basically, you're asking that the pad that you want to construct for the shed is the same distance from your south property line as the
old shed
the pad for the shed that was there before. And you move the pad several feet to the west so that there's no longer an encroachment on the proper under the setback along the
4 feet.
Side of your property.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, do we have any questions for Mr. Durham?
Has the pad been poured?
It has.
All right, anything else you want to tell us?
Other than hyperbole of trying to convince you, I don't want to do that. These are just the facts. So, I mean, yeah.
Okay. There's nobody else in the audience who signed up to address this, so we're going to close the public portion of the hearing, and we'll discuss this among ourselves and make a recommendation to the trustees.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you have to leave. It just means that there's no more testimony unless they ask you a question. When he said they closed the public portion, I don't want you to think you have to leave.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
It's like a garage, isn't it? You know, when somebody wants to tear down an old garage like we had last month and rebuild on the same, you know, the same footprint. That's how I look at it. I agree. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
I think you've gone above and beyond trying to get rid of the stuff.
You don't even want to know.
No.
And just printing, I mean, it was extremely difficult.
All right, anybody want to, anything else to discuss or something you want to make a motion?
I'll second.
All right, so it's been moved and seconded that we recommend to the Village Board of Trustees that the requested variation be granted. Any discussion? Remember, we have to, when we vote, if we vote in favor of this, we're finding the agent standards has been met. If you've got anything that you want to contribute beyond that, just feel free to say so. All right, you want to call the roll, please?
Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Ms. Shupcagle?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes, I think all eight standards have been met.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. So the recommendation is only Board of Appeals, the Village Board of Trustees will be 5-0 in favor of granting the variation. You can check with the staff as to when this might be before the trustees. You're welcome to suggesting really that you come when the trustees have this on the agenda in case they have any questions for you. All these documents that you've submitted will become part of the record and submitted to the trustees along with our findings.
Thank you all very much.
If the ZBA is available to meet in August, then this would proceed to the August 26th Village Board meeting agenda. So you can follow up with Cliff, and we will let you know, but you may want to mark that on your calendar.
August 26th.
7 p.m., same room.
Okay.